Mini episode 334 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationcheddar.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 334. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross with a special treat for you today, breaking down the American Football Conference at midseason. You seem very amused by my take.
Yeah, what a special treat that is. Yes. I'm like, my God, Christmas happens every day for the FDH Lounge listeners. A treat seems to be stretched again. Like a treat is something I give my dog, and he rolls for it and gets all excited. I mean, God bless you. I hope you are. But if there are people like rolling on the ground, like waving their tails for this, well, then we're doing our job,
don't
aren't we?
Sell us
yes,
short,
okay,
Kyle.
I was gonna say I should. Yeah.
I
know, why
to
why
sell
wouldn't
us
you
short.
Do that? Why wouldn't you do that every time we hit the airwaves?
Exactly. Yes. But we're doing it here today, and as we did with the preseason ones here on the AFC, you've kind of taken the ball and run with it here as far as the structure goes. So I'm going to kind of defer to you on how we hit these things here. What's the best way to go about this?
Okay, what I wanted to do, because it's week nine, it's not everyone's played the same amount of games, but, you know, in the seventh, it is pretty much the midpoint of the season. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but on a kind of almost a weekly and, to be honest with you, almost psychotic semi-weekly basis, I'm always trying to rectify what I thought before the season with where we're at now and where we're going forward. I'm like very anal about this, and to be honest with you, I think it's screwing up my weekly betting, to be honest. But that's a different podcast for a different day, as they say. So what I want to do here at the midpoint of the season is take a look back, what we said before the season, where we are now, and kind of rectify what we thought then, what we thought now, and then kind of talk about a little bit what we're going forward, what we expect to happen in the second half of the NFL season. So with the AFC, and feel free to disagree with this comment if you do, I don't think you do. I've heard many people on TV say this as well, that at this point of the season, you can pretty much pencil five of the playoff teams in, I think, five of the six.
I think so. I believe that.
And I can break them down into two groups.
Okay.
These five. The first group, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's a lot to say here, would be Denver, Cincinnati, and New England. Both of us had them as division winners before the year.
Yeah.
I've still got them as division winners moving forward.
Yep.
And they're all three pretty much where I thought they'd be before the season.
More or less, yeah.
You've got Denver may, you know, it's funny, and I'm an honest guy. Mm-hmm. Denver may be the one who has actually been a little bit better than I thought they were.
I had them for 13-3.
I didn't see. I said, and you can check the tape, I'm not making this. I'm being honest. I wouldn't make this up, obviously. I didn't think Denver would match last year's 13-win total.
Okay.
I didn't. I thought the injuries would set them back. Mm-hmm. You know, the offensive line injuries have not hurt them as bad as, say, a Seattle, although Seattle still has the same record as well.
Right.
But the defense, you know, they got through the injuries on defense, it looks like.
And suspension.
Yeah, and suspension. And they look to me to be the cream of the conference. I'd be shocked if for a second straight year they didn't have home field advantage. Your thoughts?
Well, let me put it to you this way.
I don't think they're going to lose more than two games the rest of the year.
In talking to one of our fellow FDH Lounge dignitaries off air, our FDH Director of Research, Nathan Noy, and just BSing with him a little bit about this, and he was talking about that and just assuming, okay, so Kansas City's the wild card, whatever. I said, yes, but here's the fly in that particular ointment. And I don't mean to jinx the man, but again, there were questions coming into the 2012 season about the neck of Peyton Manning.
Oh, and
I think he's, you know, withstood them. I had a lot of grave questions. You're always one hit away in the NFL from having your team's destiny changed. If it's Brock Osweiler at the helm, I'm sorry, Kansas City's winning that division.
Yeah.
If Peyton Manning holds up, and again, it's a big caveat.
Yeah.
That's the only caveat I place on that. Kansas City will be in the five spot if that it happens. They still have the two games with Denver. Kansas City has beaten up a disproportionately soft slate to this point in time. They are there was, I don't remember who it was, some media potentate recently. Well, maybe they're the best team in the league. I think it was Adam Schefter. You've got to rate them number one. I don't know if Schefter said that or not.
He had them number one in his power rankings last week, I know. It just seemed
ridiculous.
I don't fault him personally. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of it's something that drives me crazy with college football rankings, mm-hmm. where people just put all the undefeated teams at the top.
Well,
even though, I'll get you going early in the program here. Okay, I'm sorry. If Texas A&M, who has two losses already, mm-hmm. played Ohio State, who has none,
mm-hmm.
Texas A&M, A, would be favored, and B, I'd expect Texas A&M to win that game.
Very possibly. I was at the Ohio State-Iowa game, which was a very close call mm-hmm. for the Buckeyes, so I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. It's a thing. It's very interesting looking at Kansas City, where I'm struggling to remember the last time a team was 8-0 at midseason. People looked at them and was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point they're going to hang on and make the playoffs. Anytime somebody's 8-0, you're always talking about them as a Super Bowl front runner. And in the case of Kansas City, they're arguably not even on that top tier we talked about, Denver, New England, Cincinnati. They might be.
Yeah, and I wanted to get to Cincinnati a little bit because it's interesting. There's a whole other debate to be had about Cincinnati that
yes,
I wanted to get to.
Exactly.
But here's the thing with Denver, they've played a pretty weak schedule too. They've already swept. They've already swept the NFC East, the worst division
in
the sport. And they've played Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So five of their 3, 6, 7 wins are not against the finest of teams.
That's true.
I mean, they did beat, and they beat up on Baltimore with the great second half. Oh, and they beat Oakland.
Yeah.
Denver. So Denver has not played a tough schedule. So maybe we shouldn't go crowding them just yet. Now, one team that has played a tough schedule
mm-hmm.
started a little slow. There were questions about Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little nervous that I overrated the team before the year.
Mm-hmm.
Was Cincinnati. They look great now.
Yeah.
And they've beaten New England, which could be huge potentially for the number 2 seed.
Yes.
In the AFC.
Or 3 or 4.
Yeah. It's real key. We'll get, again, with Kansas City, mm-hmm. bring that up as Kansas City potentially is the 5.
Yes.
You really want to be – it's a huge – if you don't get the bye,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a huge difference between the 3 and the 4.
Agree completely.
This year
yes.
in the AFC. Because the 3, we're going to go through a whole big thing here.
Yeah.
About who's going to get this 6 seed because they're going to be the significantly weakest entrant in the
AFC. And the 4 gets a 9-7 schlub that they get to play. And what will be the CBS Sunday game probably.
Wait, what's that?
Well, the number 4 seed.
The number 4 seed will probably be in
the the number 3 seed. The number 3 seed is going to get to play the 9-7
schlub. Yeah, that's
schlub.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
The 3 is going to get the, and then you're probably looking at, we'll talk about the potential 4-5 matchup in a second. But Cincinnati, pleasant surprise, 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost even a little better than I thought they'd be, which is pretty surprising since I kind of, thought about it as highly of them as anyone coming into the year. I thought they'd be 11-5 and, have a chance for a home field advantage in the AFC.
Right.
I don't think they'll get that, but they have a chance for bye. Then there's New England, also 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it before that eventually this run would have to come to an end. And, man, may not be this year, but it's looking more and more like it's going to be sooner rather than later. I've watched this team play almost every week, and they just don't look good. And the lazy, easy narrative is that the receivers are bad. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Tom Brady has not been great the last couple weeks. Not healthy. Hands messed up. We've got a lot of injuries to key defensive people, too. This team could, unless if they get the 3 seed, but they would play a weak team at home, I could see them being 1-done in the playoffs again.
Yeah, that seems very likely, actually. They're not nearly as good as their record. The funny thing is, in looking at this division, start that Miami got off to. And I say when I say that, I mean I'm limiting it to basically the first 3 weeks. But also the way that the Jets have looked on and off, the Jets having taken one from the Patriots. Even the Bills have had their moments. They came close to beating the Patriots when they played them. It's almost like New England's trying to come back to the pack. And the rest of the division is just sitting there with their greased fingers and saying, we're not ready for you yet. Because if Miami, in particular, was a team that was ready to step up, New England would be ripe. But it's not happening. It's really not happening.
No,
the other three teams
week.
In that division,
we saw
yeah.
Miami jumped out to the lead and they blew it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, New England, look, relative to the rest of the league,
yeah.
this is still a top 10 team.
Yeah.
But it is no longer a top 5 team.
Essentially,
my power rankings right now, halfway through the year, I've got them at 9. And that's pretty low for New England compared to the past.
You're not used to seeing that, yeah.
So those three, look, we liked them before the year. You could pencil them. They're going to win their divisions. Do you agree that all three are going to win their divisions?
I very mean, little they difference all have, between what we thought then and what we think now.
It's interesting. Denver's actually not leading the division right now, but we're all assuming it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Cincinnati's got a 2.5-game lead in the North. New England, 2-game lead in the East. but they've already, well, they split with the Jets, they beat Miami, and they beat Buffalo. So, I mean, they're 3-1 in the division, so they're off.
Right.
So, like I said, it'll be just a typical thing for there. All right, next two teams that I think are going to make the playoffs, it's safe to say at this point. Indianapolis and Kansas City. We've already touched on Kansas City a little bit that, okay, yeah, they're the last unbeaten, but you and I don't think they're the best team by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even know if they're a top five team
right
now, to be honest with you. They're very reminiscent of, ironically enough, the Alex Smith-led 49ers of 2 years ago. Don't turn the ball over, create a lot of turnovers, dominate time of possession, win close with a good defense. Their defense has been great. I just want to throw something at you that's crazy. They're one win away from anyone who bet them over the future win total before the year of cashing. It was 8.5 at its high. It went from 7.5, and it was bet up a lot to 8.5. Now, I said they'd make the playoffs. They were a pick for a wild
card.
You
were right.
But I said they'd be like 8-8 or 9-7.
Yeah.
And obviously,
well, nobody saw this. You came closer than most.
Yeah, but what's funny is, and my only trepidation with the Chiefs, is that they were so trendy. It seemed it's like, here's a team that won two games a year ago, and I realized they had Romeo Crennel as the coach and the immortal duo of Brady Quinn and Matt Castle at quarterback. And turnover-wise, they were terrible last year. I mean, they couldn't – remember, they never had a lead at this, but now they're always winning. But what's so unbelievable is that all of the metrics that suggested an improvement were so right.
Yeah.
If you don't prove it, like, everything suggested this would be the most improved team in the league.
Right.
And it's unbelievable how true it was. It's almost never, like, it's almost never that unbelievable. I mean, everyone thought the Chiefs would win at least, like, six games, which is an improvement by definition.
It's about where I had them.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is ridiculous how, you know, like I said, some people, if you bet it right away, they've already won on the futures odds. I mean, it opened at 7.5. So they're going to win a game that's an easy over. And
here's the funny thing, though. You're talking about trendiness. And on the surface, you look at it and say, okay, well, you know, sometimes the trendy people get it right. What's the danger in that? It's a tremendous coincidence you mention this right now in the same breath with Indianapolis.
Yes.
Because you and I got caught on the wrong end of the trendiness there as far as Indianapolis goes. Because the trendy thought, and looking at the advanced statistics, I blame Bill Barnwell for brainwashing me on this, was that Indianapolis, again, as a team with a horrible point differential for being 11-5 last year, was going to regress, at least in the short term. What happened was, again, they have improved an awful lot. Andrew Luck has a lot to do with that. They have basically improved from within a tremendous amount.
You know what's interesting, though, and Sam, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
The analytics, ultimately, I think, are going to be right with the Colts. They're not going to win as many games as last year.
No, well,
I don't think they're getting to 11, personally. See, that's
probably not, just because it's so hard.
I think they're getting to, I think they'll be at 9 or 10.
Then you got them on kind of a second-half skid then. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to be at 9 or 10 wins.
Okay.
I mean, they're 5-2 now. So let's say they, 9-7, I guess, means they're going to be 4-5 the rest of the way, which, you know, I mean, that's kind of tough, I mean, given the division and whatnot. But I could see 9-7, 10-6 for this team. I really can. And it's funny, luck is the reason. Everyone said before the year, look, I said they would win 7 games only this year, which in retrospect seems pretty terrible, but I wasn't the only one who said that. But again, everyone said, okay, if this doesn't happen, there's going to be one reason, and it's Andrew Luck. And he's the reason that they're not regressing. It's not this Trent Richardson trade, which, by the way, the Browns have won, in my opinion, that deal.
Maybe.
Anytime you can get a first-round pick for a guy platooning with Donald Brown, you make that deal.
The thing of it is, though, again, Richardson really fits their power running offense. I mean,
he hasn't looked
success,
like it so far.
They're winning games, though.
Yeah, not because of
mean,
him. Now, I'll say, here's what's interesting about Indianapolis. They have three as impressive wins of any team in the league.
Yeah.
They have beaten already this year Denver, Seattle, and San Francisco, who I think are three of the four best teams in the league.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've lost to Miami. They lost to San Diego. They barely beat Oakland. So that's what this team, to me, is
Well, they play
still,
up or down to the level of their competition,
this
clearly.
This team, to me, is still closer to the high variance group that we'll get to in a little bit that's going to be fighting for that last playoff spot than those top three, even though they beat Denver.
So, in other words,
would you take Indy to win in Denver in the playoffs?
I would not, and I actually think that's going to be the AFC Championship game at this point.
Wow. But okay, because I was going to ask. Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you, you know, this is probably the only time in the history of sports that it doesn't mark you as being a jealous or bitter fan of another team for saying Indianapolis is only winning because of great luck.
Stop. Let me ask you a
that
question.
That was horrible. I apologize.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Indianapolis plays Kansas City in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Do you see that being a fairly strong possibility?
I got them getting the bye. But
oh, okay. This is interesting. This is like our first real discrepancy.
Yeah.
I have Indianapolis as the 4 seed.
Okay. All right.
So,
well, yeah.
And
you don't want to be the 4. If they had to play Kansas City there.
They'd be at home. line, I would say Indy minus 2.5.
Give me
a winner.
I would like them, but not love them. I'd be on Indy, but it would not feel like a slam dunk.
I think Kansas City's actually a little bit better than Indy, believe it or
not. They might be. Well, I mean, that defense is monstrous. And by the way, too, and we did spend an entire mini-episode going off on the woes of the anti-model franchise in the league, the Cleveland Browns, and this whole thing of just mindlessly dumping old players. There was a great piece, or not old players, but inherited players, past regimes. I can't remember where it was. I don't think it was Grantland. Somebody did a great piece on what they've done in Kansas City this year and making it work with the guys that they have there. What a friggin' concept, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's interesting, though. That said, Kansas City had I guess it's easy to say in retrospect, hindsight's 2020 and all. Kansas City had two very glaring changes to make.
Yeah.
Coach,
yeah.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
And, I mean, their quarterback play last year was horrific, and we're learning now that Romeo Crennel probably did one of the worst coaching jobs in the modern era last year.
Yeah. He looks a lot like Bobby Valentine at the moment.
Yeah, he does, yes. So those are the five that we think are going to make it, okay?
Yeah.
Before we get to we talk about the other one who's going to get in, and we can debate that.
Okay.
I want to kind of go process of elimination and eliminate the bad team.
Okay.
Because here's what's interesting. We thought before the year that there'd be a lot of bad teams in the AFC. That, you know, the five worst. I think I even came out and said the five worst teams in football may all be in the AFC.
With two exceptions, we whiffed on the rest of them.
And it really, the bottom hasn't been as bad in the AFC as expected, with one notable exception,
yes.
Obviously. So I want to play a game with you right now.
Okay.
I'm going to pick a team and say why. You'll pick a team and say why, and we'll do this each three times.
All right.
Who is not going to make the playoffs in the AFC?
Okay.
I'm going to start.
All right.
And I'm going to do the easy one. Jacksonville.
Okay.
Here's why they're not going to make the playoffs. They're already 0-8. Even if they magically won out, I still don't think they'd get in.
I like that you did that because it makes me feel like less of a cheer for my next one, because even though they're 3-4, it's a gimme. The Oakland Raiders are not making the playoffs.
I thought you'd go there.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm glad you brought the you picked the Raiders.
Yeah.
Thought you would, first of all.
Yeah.
By the way, we did not go over this ahead of time.
Right.
We should clarify that.
That's true. No coordination.
Okay.
We like the spontaneity.
Yeah. But here's what's funny with Oakland, and I know they just won last week. They beat Pittsburgh and beaten San Diego. All three wins at home so far this year. It's funny because Jacksonville's so horrid. I think we've all forgotten how low the bar was for the Raiders this year.
Yeah, I had them lumped right in with Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's now.
I think below them even. I think I had them as
worse.
Yeah.
I did too. Shame on me. I thought Jacksonville was going to get the 6 wins this year. I don't know what I was
looking
at.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. What we were looking at was, again, the biggest X factor in all of this. Who saw it coming with the development of Terrell Pryor? And put your hands down if you're sitting there at home, ladies and gentlemen, because you're liars. Trask claims she saw it coming.
Stop. All right. It's a quarterback-rich draft. This applies to both teams.
Yeah.
It's a quarterback-rich draft.
Yeah.
Next year, April. Are the Raiders comfortable enough with Pryor to take a
they're
not
going
to pick a quarterback
or somebody else?
I don't think they're
going
to be picking early enough to get Clowney, to be honest with
probably
you.
Probably not.
I thought he was the next New York Giant.
Yeah.
Without question up until the last 2 weeks when the Giants started winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, here's my question for you. Should they just become the biggest college football fans in America?
Pretty
and what
much.
I mean by that isn't assuming they get the first pick, and I know Tampa Bay hasn't won yet either. I mean, isn't this like the most important decision their organization will make for the foreseeable future is this pick? Like, shouldn't it be like on Sunday, you know, 12:45? Can't you envision a scenario where like the assistants are running into Gus Bradley's office, say, "Hey, Gus, the game's ready to start," and Gus Bradley's like, "I'm sorry, I'm watching the fourth quarter of the Louisville game right now."
You know what the best part about that is? Teddy Bridgewater has a year of eligibility left. He has a get-out-of-Jacksonville free pass.
He's coming out.
If Jayville's got the pick,
These guys who come back, all they do is get worried about getting hurt.
True.
And we've seen with quarterbacks and I'm telling you, no, he's coming out.
This has got Danny.
And here's the thing, though.
Him staying at Louisville has got Danny Ferry goes to Europe written all over it.
No, I don't think that's camp, but I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
If they get a real quarterback, this team's will win some games next year.
You're right.
They just have Chad Henne, trust me. I'm a Michigan guy. I can tell you I never liked him his time in Ann Arbor. Blaine Gabbert's a disaster.
There was a great song about him done by the Dead Schembechlers.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. I'll make sure to sing about Woody Hayes tonight, too. Okay. So I think there's talent there. They've got some decent receivers, Shorts and Blackman. Mercedes Lewis isn't a bad tight end. Bryce Jones-Drew has not played bad. He's just screwed.
Blackman's a stud. MJD is...
It's hard to put up good numbers when you're always losing.
Well, and he's not over the hill yet, But you
he's getting
tell,
there.
Yeah.
And Gus Bradley,
he ain't what he used to be.
Gus Bradley's a defensive coordinator, so he'll, I think, turn the defense around.
Yeah.
All right, my next pick not to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Your Cleveland Browns.
I would agree with that. I got nothing to say. I'll tell you this, though. And again, sample size of the couple of games, if Brian Hoyer was still in there, we couldn't make that definitive pronouncement. Given that the AFC could yield an 8-8 wild card team, more likely 9-7, you couldn't have ruled out the Browns because, again, you look at what a thoroughly mediocre Jason Campbell did last week as a game manager, and Hoyer looked better than him. I agree with you under the present circumstances, they won't make it. The next that I would say would be, and this is kind of a slam dunk after their performance on Sunday, they're now 3-5. I got to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, wow. That's not who I thought you were going to pick.
Yeah, at this point, it's pure math. Are they going to go 6-2 to get the 9-7? I think not.
Very true. I thought this would be your third pick.
Okay.
I thought this would be your third. I agree with you. And the thing with both Cleveland and Buffalo is they just don't have good quarterback play.
Right.
Consistently good. I mean, you talk about Campbell being mediocre. Hoyer was okay.
Buffalo's got much better depth than Cleveland.
Thad
Lewis is better than anybody not named Brian Hoyer.
Here's the thing. They're good relative to what we thought they were going to be.
Right.
They're not good relative to Andrew Luck.
Right.
Okay? I mean, you know. So, I agree with you. I don't think Buffalo's going to make it. Here's the thing. Like, that they have to just climb over too many teams in the division. The Browns, remember when they were in first place, tied for first place at 3-2?
Oh, well, again, and us being based in Cleveland here, how everybody at every opportunity, the first place Cleveland Browns. And when they won that game on a Thursday and had that win before Cincinnati by three days, the all-alone in first-place Cleveland Browns. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not making this up.
Here's the thing. Both the Browns and the Bills,
yeah,
I think are a little bit better than perceived nationally. The Browns, somebody wrote this.
Yeah.
I think it was Barnwell again. We can steal from him for a sixth time in the first 20 minutes of this podcast, they're the team that seems destined every week. The CBS fourth string announcing crew goes, you don't want to play this team, and the final score is 16-10, the other guys.
Yeah.
And in Buffalo, it might be a little higher scoring, and we've seen them be largely competitive this year, but, you know, ultimately they'll lose more than they win too.
They have a better offense, but their defense is not as good. The Browns with that front seven have been pretty mighty. The secondary was not exposed early on. It kind of has been over a period of time, so...
The Bills will obviously not take a quarterback next year because they have E.J. Manuel. And they're going to give him a chance. Do the Browns, they all have two picks, remember, but they're going to be both lower than expected. Have they played their way out of the great quarterback draft of 2014, and are they going to maybe be forced to ride Hoyer as the starter all through 2014?
I don't see that. I don't see committing to him yet, but I will say, again, they're out of it. They were out of it with their probably second win for Bridgewater. They're probably out of it for Mariota at this point, even though they're going to fall off some more.
I can name three teams for sure that will pick in front of them that are taking quarterbacks: Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and Minnesota.
Well, beyond that, when you're getting past Mariota, then I think it gets a little bit fuzzy because
Brett Hundley come out?
How much do you value, say, Taj Boyd? It becomes a question of that. Where do these guys slot in?
Is somebody going to reach for Johnny Football?
Well, that too. And the thing of it is with him, to me, the much bigger, even as big of a, and I say this, by the way, as a guy who in a long-term fantasy football keeper league has Johnny Manziel. So, I on the one hand, I'm personally betting that he's going to go somewhere.
How do you get in some of these fantasy leagues you're in?
It's a 16-team league, too. It's pretty deep. But on the one hand, I'm betting
on
him.
Are you like SEC schools where you're getting letters of intent from sixth graders?
Pretty much. I'm still bitter that Tyler Bray didn't go anywhere in the draft because that was a college pick that was wasted. But, as far as it goes, look, on the one hand, I'm betting on him to do something. On the other hand, he's an immature little punk. But I'm actually more scared of his height than I am of the other things here. Because Russell Wilson and Drew Brees are still the exception to the rule.
Agreed. Yeah, you're right. We're not going to see 15, 6 foot and under quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the bigger question right there. So, so the Browns will go for one. I don't know if they're typical of the Browns. They're probably going to do just good enough to price themselves out. Then they're going to have to. They'll package the two picks, probably the next year's number one. The Browns are very good at mortgaging the future on that kind of idiocy. So they'll overpay to get a quarterback. is what it will come to.
And he probably won't be that good.
Yeah, probably. Right. So you're going to take the team that you thought I was going to take next to miss the playoffs.
No, I'm going to leave that for you.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I want to pick a team that both you and I had in the playoffs before the year and is not going to make it. That's going to be the Houston Texans. And my answer is very simple. Have you watched them play? It's just not their year.
Spoiler alert. I don't think they're going to make it, but they won't be on my list. I do not rule them out. They would not be among my six.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You just watch. I mean, unless if Case Keenum can catch lightning in a bottle.
Capture the imagination of the country.
Yes. Shades of Tim Tebow. Yeah. My God, they love this man. They are chanting Tebow. It's just so obvious to me that it's not this team's year. Kubiak.
Okay.
Look, we all kind of remember we kind of questioned his future a few years ago. They may be in the market for a new quarterback, given what's happened with Matt Schaub this year. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I think it's the reality. And what's really crazy is we thought, at least I did, and I'm sure you did too, that they had their window for not necessarily dominating, but being on top of this division was going to be open certainly this year, maybe next.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's slammed shut, and Indianapolis is now, once again, you know, they've got their franchise quarterback. The other three teams, not so much. I mean, it's the Colts division and everyone else. The Houston Texans will not make the playoffs this year.
Well, here's the thing, though. When you talk about teams being one quarterback away a lot of times, like Jacksonville, from being a little bit better. I still like Houston's roster, maybe by a decent margin, better than Indianapolis's. You'll look at the defense. I still love Houston's defense. They have the number one
defense in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, the running backs that they have, Andre Johnson, they're closer to being back there next year than they got a big move to make.
Oh, they will not see their win total decrease again next year.
No. This is a bottoming out year.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't be on my list because I'm still not sure yet. Indianapolis has a chance to drive the wooden stake through their heart on Sunday night, and they might. If Indianapolis beats them,
then they're
2-6,
and
it's
over.
They won't rebound from that.
So my first kind of switching of playoff picks
from
preseason, Houston out, Indianapolis in.
And so I greatly appreciate the chance to pronounce dead Pittsburgh Squealers.
Oh, no.
My most hated NFL team. They will not make the playoffs this year. I have never been more glad to be wrong about something. They were one of my teams I had limping into the playoffs.
I had them as
a wild card.
Yep, so did I.
Thought they had enough fumes. I saw that they were on fumes, but I was like, look, the AFC, again, I didn't see Kansas City coming. I just couldn't make a case for a lot of these teams. I was like, the AFC is so brutally bad. But here's the thing, though. In doing the power rankings through the season, you can check them out, same place you check out the show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. What I do is I also add up the points as far as the rankings go by division and by conference. And all throughout last year, the NFC had a wide statistical edge on the AFC. We all expected that to be the case this year. When we had people on the show, Ian Eagle, Rick Bucher, anybody that we were talking about, and granted, most of the conversation with Bucher was hoops, but he also covers the 49ers being in the Bay Area. All of these guys, nobody ever challenged my premise and said, no, Rick, I think the AFC could be as good as the NFC. It caught everybody by surprise, and my rationale for picking the Steelers evaporated with it. The AFC has been much better than we thought because of the rise of Kansas City, because of the rise of Indianapolis, because of the rise early on of Miami. They've kind of receded, but on and on down the line, the AFC has been much better than we thought, and that has exposed the Steelers.
You're right. I didn't feel great about picking the Steelers to make the playoffs before the year, but they had seen their win total drop from the previous year.
Right.
2 years ago it was 12. Last year it went down to 8. And usually that signals that you kind of bump up. And I figured, you did too, that 9 wins was enough to get you into playoffs easy in the AFC. And to be honest with you, it's going to be enough this year. If you win 9 games, that last team that gets in is going to be a 9-win team.
I don't think there's going to be 2 teams at 9 wins.
No, but the last one will be. But here's the thing. I was starting to believe a little bit, but then they lost at Oakland last week, and that killed their season.
Yeah.
The offensive line's bad. Todd Haley's just got to go.
Yeah.
They don't create any turnovers anymore, the Steelers. I meant to ask you a question about Houston. If they don't make the playoffs, is Gary Kubiak gone?
Yes, and okay. He should be.
Okay.
And that may or may not be fair.
Todd Haley should be gone too, right, with Pittsburgh?
Todd Haley, absolutely.
It just hasn't worked.
Selfishly, I hope he's not, but he will be. There's no question about it. As far as it goes with Houston, again, I've always been a Matt Schaub guy and stuck up for him. I think there is something to be said for the notion that after that foot injury that he had, he's not been quite the same quarterback. We've seen also how it can mess with your psyche. His psyche was wrecked earlier this season, yeah. I think. It's
with
just
all
become
the pick sixes. Ben Roethlisberger also feels like he's 100 years old.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks whose psyches have been
he's
wrecked.
Very beat up. Yeah.
I mean, so this looks to be the worst season in Pittsburgh for a long time. So that's another team that you and I both had in the playoffs before the year and don't now.
Yes.
So that opens one spot remaining.
Okay.
Who is going to be the last spot? Who is going to be the last playoff entrant in the AFC? We have five teams to choose from right now.
Okay.
Now, you said you wouldn't disqualify Houston automatically.
Yeah, true.
Okay, but...
But we've done that for these purposes, and okay. I'll concede that they're less
they're
likely.
They're not going to win the division
over
Indianapolis.
So
Indianapolis has taken Houston's spot as the division champ.
Well, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, too. As far as it goes with the AFC East and how much I regard the whole fugazi nature of the other teams in that division, if you were going to go deeper than six, I would put both my Miami Dolphins and the Jets right there in that pot either. Because I guess I wouldn't rule out, especially in the case of the Dolphins, who are a better team than the Jets, I wouldn't rule out them making it. But I honestly don't see it in either case. I honestly don't.
Granted that... This number is a byproduct largely of last week's result when they suffered the worst loss, most lopsided margin of defeat of any team this year we've seen in a game. They lost by 40 at Cincinnati, the Jets.
Yeah.
Their point differential for the year is now minus 68.
Yeah.
That's worse than Tampa Bay. That's
And that's with a much
worse
better,
than Minnesota.
That's with both. It's hard to pull that off in light of expectations and what they've done relative to that. Had a much better defense than anticipated. They've rebuilt it quicker than anticipated.
And Geno Smith's been a little better
than we
thought.
Geno Smith's been better than we thought. And yet the point differential, again, there's a lot of skew from that Bengal game. But I tell you, again, it's been one of those kind of things. I think we saw it in the Tennessee game also. When it gets ugly for them, it gets fugly.
Yeah. The group of five we're talking about now are all high variance teams to me. These are the teams that I really struggle to get a hold on week to week. They're really good one week, and then they stink the next week. And Miami and the Jets have typified that. The Jets, look, they beat New England one week at home. The next week, they go on the road. They lose by 40 at Cincinnati. You don't get more high variance than that. Miami, you mentioned, they were 3-0 at one point, and they looked to be maybe that sixth team. But they had been outgained in all three of those games. They were outgained in their first five games overall. They actually outgained Buffalo. I think on the show I said something wrong last week and said they'd been outgained in all six games.
Okay.
They had actually outgained Buffalo in a loss.
Okay.
The previous week. And then here, let me take a look to see.
While you're doing that, I'm just going to note on Miami. You talk about, you know, high variance, not knowing what to expect from week to week. It's one of these things where you find a lot of times in handicapping, there's a lot of things that smack you in the face afterwards, because I agree with you on Miami. But if you look at it completely rearview mirror, they started the season like a ball of fire, winning their first three, and have dumped their last four.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, that's
but
not
two
the
of the
case.
Wins, two of the wins were close, Indianapolis and Atlanta in there. Now, most of their losses have been close. They lost by at home to Baltimore by three, at home to Buffalo by two, and they lost last week in New England by 10, but that game was closer than 10 points. They did outgain New England, holding the Patriots' once-vaunted offense to 252 total yards. So I wouldn't write Miami off. If you were forced to pick a team between Miami and the Jets.
Oh, clearly I would pick Miami.
You're really clearly on Miami? Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, and as a Dolphins fan, I always say they're my 1A team to the Browns. I want to believe in Ryan Tannehill as much as everybody else does. I'm still not completely sold yet that the guy is going to be a top-flight NFL quarterback. And yet, the experience difference between him and Geno Smith, it's not even close. And the fact that, again, Geno Smith playing in the tough climate of New York, you know, when you get into November and December, and if the Jets are playing meaningful games, absolutely, I'd rather be Ryan Tannehill playing in much less of a pressure cooker. The defenses are both fairly tough, as you indicated there. But I'll tell you what just sours me on believing in the Dolphins and what makes me say I'm pretty darn sure they're not making the playoffs. You talk about a defining game of the season. As much as I would love to say, you know, the Indianapolis win or something like that, the loss to Buffalo at home. If you're a playoff team, you don't lose to the Bills.
And they were off a bye, too.
And that was with Thad Lewis at quarterback. You don't want the backup quarterback coming in and beat you on the road, even if the kid's been better than people thought.
Okay, what do we think of Tennessee? Here's a team that's 3-4, also got off to a surprising start.
Yeah.
Has a point differential only of -1, and remember, they had to ride Ryan Fitzpatrick for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Locker's back now.
And Locker did much better than we thought. He matured.
Yeah, this was
a team.
Look, I thought this team had a chance to be picking. I said it before the season.
I did too.
They could be picking first potentially.
Yeah.
Next
an
April.
Awful team, we thought.
Yeah. Well, the key is their defense has been way improved.
Yeah.
This year, here's another team that's improved defensively, and the division is pretty weak. I think they still play Jacksonville twice. Correct
right.
me if I'm wrong. Which would be huge. Let me take a look here.
Well, Locker's
they've beaten
been
the
better.
Jets, too, which is huge.
Right. Locker's been better. But you know, and again, this is me, you know, as the fantasy guy with this observation. I think it marks, like, 15 years in a row that they're going to have, like, three wide receivers at, like, 62 catches and 687 yards. None of those guys ever step up to, you know, I always love to, you know, throw out the thing on this show. They always, you know. What's the slogan about Brazil? It's the country of the future, and it always will be. Well, as far as wide receivers go, we can say that about Kenny Britt. We can say that about really a couple of the guys they had there. Not Nate Washington because he's too old, but we could say that about a few of their receivers.
Tennessee's remaining schedule. They do play. They have three straight road games at one point, two of them at Indianapolis and at Denver.
Yeah.
You'd probably assume they'd lose those two, right?
I would think so.
Okay, so that would maybe six losses on the season for them. But here's their remaining games. Well, they at St. Louis. St. Louis is working on a short week. Tennessee's on a bye. That's this upcoming Sunday. At home versus Jacksonville. At home versus Indy. Okay, that could be a loss, too. At Oakland. At home versus Arizona. At Jacksonville versus Houston. They could be
very winnable.
Hanging around. That's not a bad schedule for Tennessee. Yeah.
Do you agree with me? I would slot them even ahead of Miami. I said Miami ahead of the Jets, and I'll say Tennessee ahead of Miami.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I do.
Right.
All right, so then there's two more teams to talk about.
Okay.
One of them is the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
A team that you picked to make the playoffs. I did not.
Spoiler alert, I still will.
And that, of course, for those of you who may have missed the Super Bowl last year, is the Baltimore Ravens. I have no gauge on this team whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about a team that I feel least comfortable week to week predicting who shows up, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Clearly, the offense is not performing at the level at which it did during the Super Bowl run, Joe Flacco in particular, but that was to be expected. That was an all-time run.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about that offense, and I agree with you, and Ray Rice fantasy owners are very frustrated this year, but something we saw during the Super Bowl run last year, and these things can be fleeting because it's not like Deion Branch permanently became any kind of big-time guy from being a January hero. Torrey Smith has continued rounding the corner this year as he did in the playoffs last year. That's big for them. They haven't had a legitimate number one wide receiver. And you could throw Anquan Boldin at me, but Boldin was not a guy to be able to beat defenses deep. Okay, he's a guy who could make catches with guys hanging on him, could be the possession guy, but a weapon, a number one wide receiver weapon. Torrey Smith is that guy now, and that gives them a dimension they haven't had in recent years. And the defense has rebuilt quicker than people thought, although they've had some gaffes as well. The defense is not all the way back.
Say what you will. I mean, I think they miss Ray Lewis. I know he wasn't the player he
sure.
was before, but, I mean, that's obviously a huge void.
But
they have not been able to run the ball either. 28th in the league in running it.
I have a Jets-like feel in looking at this defense, though. You thought the defense would be worse than it is. I got some grading on that curve, which is very generous of me since I hate the Raptors.
Their schedule's harder than Tennessee's.
Okay.
They still play Cincinnati twice.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Detroit. They host New England. They're in Chicago. Maybe Cutler's back by that point. That would be a big difference.
Detroit might be about due, though, by the time they catch them.
Well, it's a Monday night game in Ford Field, so the crowd will be amped.
Okay.
Here's the thing. As much as I feel week to week I don't have a good grasp on Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
I feel at the end of the year they're going to be right where I said they were at the beginning, and that's 8-8 and just miss the playoffs.
Okay. I'll say 9-7 make it, which is what I said at the outset.
So the only team we have not mentioned yet is the team that I am going to now slot in to Pittsburgh's spot before the year and to make the playoffs. That's the San Diego Chargers, a team who's...
You hugely disrespected them before the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt coming to that their ceiling was far lower, or pardon me, their floor was far lower than their ceiling was higher, if that makes sense. Yeah. I thought, okay, I said 6-10, and I'm like, yeah, but it could be worse. I wouldn't be surprised if it's worse. I would be surprised if it's better. It's very easy to see why this team's exceeded expectations. That's Mike McCoy has rebuilt Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And the offense is pretty good. I know that they've got, again, they've got some they lost at Oakland. They looked ugly. They've dominated the NFC East like Denver has, which has helped their record. I just think that San Diego, of these teams, is the one that's shown me the most.
Mm-hmm.
They beat it. They looked great in beating Indianapolis on Monday night. And that I just misjudged their ceiling. And here's an interesting thing. Have you seen this stat about the road team in Philly's home opener every year has, like, won the Super Bowl the last 4 years?
Really?
Yes. San Diego was at Philadelphia in Philadelphia's home opener this year. Oh, by the way. It goes back to when New Orleans won the Super Bowl. New Orleans, Green Bay, the Giants, and then last year Baltimore. The last four Super Bowl champions were the road team in Philly's home opener all those years.
That's
and
amazing.
San Diego
this
year.
I think that string comes to an
end.
So
do I. I don't see San Diego winning the Super Bowl. I would see him being one and done. But, you know, the only thing, though, that's a negative against San Diego, they still have four games left against Denver and Kansas City.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah,
I think they're more likely than Tennessee. I'll slot them as my second pick behind Baltimore. I hear you on a lot of this stuff. When you talk about how it's been mystifying also, too, you got Malcolm Floyd who went down very early on. I on one of my two fantasy teams, I've got non-keeper teams, I got Ryan Matthews, who has been okay, but you know has not been the breakout guy.
I like this Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen is a guy
on some bad Cal teams.
Yeah. And Eddie Royal had some, I think they were kind of fluky, but great early performances for them. They've been kind of an interesting team.
Their schedule is not easy moving forward, San Diego. I'll tell you what, if there's a case to be made for San Diego not to make it, at Washington versus Denver, at Miami, at Kansas City versus Cincinnati versus Giants, at Denver versus Oakland versus Kansas City.
Here's what it comes down to for me in terms of looking at them versus Baltimore. In those marginal games of where they don't necessarily have a great chance, but they may have a chance. Who do you like, them in their marginal games or Baltimore? Loathe the Ratbirds personally,
I'll tell you
the
Ravens
the
were a team I didn't like last year until they got hot and won the Super Bowl. I'll say this, San Diego's got by far the best point differential through, you know, seven and in some cases eight games of these five teams we talked about. San Diego plus 24, Baltimore plus 2, Tennessee minus 1, Miami minus 15, Jets minus 68.
Well, and also, again, it nauseates me personally to put over a Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh, clearly one of the top five coaches in the league.
McCoy, an unproven
commodity. Has never missed the playoffs, so I just keep coming back to that.
See, you know the way I work.
Yeah.
To me, that's a negative.
Well, you're due.
Yeah,
that's
a negative for me because there's got to be a certain amount of turnover among playoff teams. I thought there was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, now granted, that makes you more due. But that's almost along the lines of, well, Philly's going to win a home game sooner or later.
How am I doing with that this year? How am I doing with the old angle? Oh, what's Philly going to not cover every home game this year?
That now is exactly like me and my best friend with the red, black at the roulette table. Double down, lose when you double down, lose.
They don't have the Lincoln Financial Field schedule moving forward because I need to know next time not to bet the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. It's a toss-up between Baltimore and San Diego. I would agree with you on that. I come down on Baltimore's side on that. And I have Baltimore under those circumstances as the number six seed. I have them going to Cincinnati and losing. I have Cincinnati as the three. I have as the 4-5, I have that being New England hosting Kansas City. And I would have Kansas City winning that game.
Wow.
So in
regard for New England.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with that I think it's going to look awfully similar to, if you remember the game a couple of years ago in the playoffs, Baltimore went into Foxborough and did them. I think it'll be the same thing with the defense of Kansas City. Week two in the playoffs, the huge Kansas City at Denver game, I would go with the Broncos in that one, obviously, because I think they're going to sweep the season series with Kansas City. I think that's going to be instrumental in winning the division. The other one, the close, almost a bus drive here between the two teams here, I would have Indianapolis narrowly beating Cincinnati. at home in what would be a very exciting game, I think. And then Denver dispatching Indianapolis to win the AFC Championship. Getting their revenge for the Sunday night game.
I got Denver over New England.
Over New England. Okay. So you got to go
on
that
New
far.
England, right. I think New England. Well, I think New England's going to get the bye. You and I clearly have different opinions on New
England. Okay.
I have Cincinnati as the three as well.
Okay.
But I have New England as the two, Indianapolis as the four.
Okay.
I don't think New England's going to lose many more games.
All right.
I don't think they'll lose. I think they'll wind up at 11-5. The only thing, though, is Cincinnati's got that tiebreaker on them, don't they?
So in the old Ice Bowl rematch, you would probably have Cincinnati beating San Diego again, right? Shades
yes.
of 81?
Cincinnati's okay. going to get their playoff win this year,
okay.
which I said was had to be their goal.
Okay.
You know, Cincinnati, for the season, this season to be a success for Cincinnati, they have to win a playoff game.
And
something they have not done in over 20 years.
And they should, yeah.
And they should.
So you would have them then losing in Foxborough in a second round.
The New England-Cincinnati game
mm-hmm.
would be a real coin flip for me.
Okay.
And then I would also have Denver over KC in the second round.
Okay.
I would have KC beating Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with Denver to win the AFC, which is what I had before the year.
Yeah, and my preseason pick was Houston. I actually had Houston going 2 Mile High and winning the AFC Championship, which looks like a real laugh
yeah,
at the now, moment
yeah.
here.
Now the only
yeah.
way they're doing that is they buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
tickets. I don't think they could
not
all get
happening.
One. So.
Not happening at this point, but, yeah, that's how we see it shaking out. Any other thoughts on the AFC, K-Dog?
No, I don't think so, except that other than Jacksonville, the bottom teams aren't as bad as I thought they were. I think that's
true.
The real surprise in the AFC is that there's more contending teams for the playoffs than we thought. I mean, even a team like Oakland is 3-4.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of just taking it for granted. Ah, they're not going to make it. But, I mean, they're 3-4. So,
well,
and the Jets are 4-4. And
here's the thing, though. And, again, this is, as we say, aside from Jacksonville, which might even be actually worse than we thought, and we had no regard for them to start with, when you look at the perceived bad teams, the perceived mediocre teams, and then even, and you know, Denver and Kansas City, a combined 15-1. At every level, the AFC's been better, haven't they? At every level.
Yeah, they've dominated the non-conference games.
Yeah.
Shades of, here, I'm going to throw something at you that you probably don't think I know. Shades of what the Western Conference is doing to the East in the NHL right now.
Yes.
What is it, about 50-something-19, I think the record is?
You do know that.
Yes, I do. What do you got to say about that?
That's
the way, you need to be betting hockey. Because you know who's cleaning up in hockey this year?
Who?
Road favorites. They're cashing like 75% of the games.
Oh, okay.
In the NHL right now.
Okay.
A little bonus NHL handicapping for you. If you could see a Western Conference road favorites against the East,
yeah,
like just have not lost all
okay.
year.
I thought you were actually going to reference someone specifically. I thought there might be a little bit of a kayfabe breach on that. But you know, when you said road favorites, I thought you were going to say, I know this guy who's cleaning up.
Oh, no.
Okay, all right.
No,
yeah.
No,
K-fabe,
no.
K-fabe.
No.
You know what?
Don't you like when I get the joke 6 minutes after? Yeah.
And maybe that's the note we should leave it on.
Yes.
Outstanding. There's our AFC midseason look, ladies and gentlemen.
And God bless us, everyone.
Yes.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.